Turn your Bibles, will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Glad that you're, each one of you are here this morning. And you pray that the Lord will bless us and help us together with His Word. We might hear what the Lord has for us. The Lord has promised to meet with us today, and I'm thankful for that. And may the Lord help us that we would avail ourselves to the Word, His message, and to us. The Lord would just use me to be His mouthpiece, and that we would speak to each and every one of us. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we want to take a look here at verse number 20 and use this verse as our text, and then we'll expound upon it here as we go. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 20, the scripture says, "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day, your blessings, your goodness towards us. We thank you for the privilege once again that you've blessed us with, Father, to assemble ourselves together with your people here, your church here. And Lord, that we might worship you. Help us that in everything that's done, Lord, it might be pleasing in your sight. We might honor and extol and praise and glorify your name in all things. We thank you for the way you've blessed already and for your word as it's been brought to us and the truth of it in Sunday school classes and each of the teachers. Lord, take your word and make it effectual in our hearts. Lord, touch us, change us. Lord, help us that each and every one of us, Lord, in the things that we lack, Lord, that we would be reconciled unto you. Help us in that. We pray, Father, for those that are here today and not saved, Lord, that they might see Christ precious to the salvation of their souls. Lord, illuminate them. Lord, awake and waken them. Lord, show them Christ. Show them their sin. Show them that their only hope is the Savior, your Son that you've given, and He freely came. And Lord, that they'd repent of their sins, trust in Christ. Lord, you'd work in them and save them as you only can. Help now, we pray and bless. And Lord, help us with your word. We ask it all in Lord Jesus Christ's name and for His sake. Amen. Here in this verse, it says, "Now we are ambassadors for Christ." The Apostle Paul speaking to the church at Corinth here in the second epistle or letter to that church there in Greece. He is dealing with this church about many things at hand, and he's dealt with those through the first epistle and in this second epistle. And he comes to this point, and he says, "Be reconciled." He says, "We're ambassadors for Christ, the Messiah, the Savior." He says here, as though God was speaking to you, was beseeching you, was begging you, if you will. That's what that word beseech means. Beseeching you by us. He's a preacher. He's an apostle sent by the Lord and speaking to these folks, speaking to this church. "We pray you in Christ's stead." I'm a minister of the Lord. I'm sent by Him. I'm here physically in His stead. "Be ye reconciled to God." We want to take a look at the context of this passage, and we want to pray. We pray that the Lord will help us and bless us with the application of it in each of our lives. We all need this. We all need to understand this. What Brother Bobby read this morning about Judas and the things that are mentioned related to that, you know, about we do need to be fruit inspectors. The Lord calls us to that. He calls us to wisdom in some things. There's some necessity in the church that we are all subject one to another. And there's an evaluation of by the church of the membership and dealing with sin and such as that. But we all need to introspect. We all need to consider ourselves. That's where the faithful service to the Lord, it needs to be an introspection, not a looking for someone else to blame, not looking for an excuse, but to look to ourselves for our need. And then this passage, I believe, speaks to us about that. Another title that I've had for this chapter, when I've preached it before, a subtitle, if you will, is the question, "Are we spiritual? Are you spiritual?" And that's what this chapter speaks to us about. Yes, we live in this physical world, but we're not going to be here forever. And we've been saved, we've been called, we've been given a purpose as the children of God, as the church of the living God. We've been given an assignment, a commission to fulfill, a lives to live, to be a witness for the Lord. Because this life's going to run out and we're going to live eternally with our Savior. This is the daytime, the time to work. And how are we doing in that? Because listen, brothers and sisters, we can only do it in a spiritual way. I grew up much of my young life thinking that spirituality, okay, and I'm not talking about mysticism or the religion of the world and such as that, but I grew up much of my life understanding that spirituality was something that was just out there in the ether it was very rare that you could obtain it. And that's just wrong. It can be obtained because it's contained in the Word of God. You and I that are saved, we have the Spirit of God living within us. We're no more aliens to the Lord. We're no more enemies of God, but we're the children of God with the Spirit of God in us. And the spirituality that we can obtain and have and exercise in our lives is contained right there in that book. But you know what? If we don't know that book, we won't be able to do it. If we don't seek the face of our Lord for help to do the impossible for this mortal man, we will not be able to have it. But you know what? We can. We can live and we can walk, as it says in Ephesians. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And that's what that's talking about. We live in the Spirit through the salvation of the Lord, and we walk in this life physically. And so the scripture speaks to us indeed of that. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. We'll back up a couple verses before this chapter. It's appropriate for us to do so. Listen to what the apostle says. May the Lord speak to us. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Okay, we got outward man, inward man, old man, new man. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. All right, so understand the physical life is there. We're heading for eternity. When it gets there, when it gets to the, is reviewed by the eternal picture of God, this life is but a drop in the bucket. It seems like everything right now, but it will be just a drop in the bucket. And may the Lord help us in that. He says, What we experience now is just for a moment, worketh for us a far more excellent and eternal weight of glory. While we look not, verse 18, at the things which are seen, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, the spiritual, okay? Not what you can put your hands on, not what you can see with these eyeballs, but look towards the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The good Word of God and the things that the Lord explains to us and tells us about in His Word and the application of that to these mortal lives, those things are eternal. Our service to the Lord, our faithfulness to the Lord, our witness of the Lord to a lost and dying world, our living and obeying the Lord to be accepted of Him. We'll look at that word. It's later on down in this chapter. But this is our time to lay up treasure in heaven. Brother Mark mentioned in his Sunday school class about the virtuous woman and her obedience to the Lord. And that in doing so, honoring God, being saved, honoring the Lord is laying up treasure in heaven. How so? How do we lay up treasure in heaven? By obedience. Not by willfulness. Not by our own way. But by obedience to the Lord. Verse 1 of chapter 5. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God. You know that? This body isn't going to last. And I'm not expecting it to last. I need to be a good steward of it and take care of it. But it's not going. This body isn't going to last forever, and we have no expectation of that, do we? If this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. The Lord's got it there, and it's waiting for us, and we will have it. He said this reservation, if you will, can't be canceled. Verse 2, for in this we groan, do you? Earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. Why? There'll be no sin. There'll be no deception. There'll be no temptation. There'll be no effect whatsoever by sin upon us. Do you groan for that? Do you look forward to that? We should. We should. The Apostle Paul says that he does. Verse 3, if so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. Those who are without Christ and die without Christ, oh, they'll be given a body fitted for destruction. And in that spiritual sense, they will be found naked. They will be found. And it's not that way with we that are saved. We have a body. There's a body that the Lord's prepared for us like Jesus. John talks to us about that in his first epistle. Verse number 4, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, this flesh, being burdened, not for that which we would be unclothed, but be clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life, eternal life. The final manifestation of eternal life, the completing of the transaction, if you will, where in every whit we are made immortal. We are immortal in the soul. And by virtue of the salvation of the soul, we are now unto life. Okay, we are mortal, but not dead, but living. Okay, because the soul of the person that's going to go to the lake of fire will be alive forever, but spiritually yet dead. No relationship with God. We are alive by virtue of living. And then we are made alive by Christ by virtue of salvation. We know God. He knows us. And so it's not that we are looking to be rid of this flesh and that's it, but to be clothed upon in that immortality. Don't you look forward to that? To be like Christ. To not worry about having to get up tomorrow and aches and pains. To not be worried or be challenged about being a right kind of witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. To not be challenged about having this old filthy mind that's not saved yet, that works on us and is contrary to the things of God. To be free of those things. And to live life eternal all over forever. That mortality might be swallowed up in life. Now he that hath wrought us for this selfsame thing is God. It's the Lord that's done it for us, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. The Spirit is the down payment that it's all going to be done.
Amen. That's right.
The Lord has purposed to do it. He's given it the Spirit by virtue of salvation. And He's going to accomplish it all.
Amen.
Know that it's so. Not an if, not a maybe, not as you've heard me say, I say again, not a lottery kind of hope. Oh, but a no-so, steadfast, sure hope in Christ. It will be done. It will be done. Now, he that hath wrought in us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us this earnest of the Spirit, the pledge, the part of the purchase money, if you will, right? That word earnest. Verse 6, therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we were at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord physically. Being saved, if I'm in this body, I'm physically absent before the Lord. But you know what the counterpoint of that is? Oh, it's good, isn't it? He says there in verse 7, for we walk by faith presently, not by sight. But we are confident, and I say, willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Our eyes will see Him. We will physically be in His presence. We'll not live by faith anymore. We'll live by sight and presence with the Lord. It's a sure, sure thing. Do you have that blessed hope? You have that looking forward to the coming of the Lord? Or are you encouraged by that? Are you helped by that? Are you strengthened by that, child of God? We need to be. We should be. We need to have this confidence. We need to know this. We are confident, I say, verse 8, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Brother Jim, I've got stuff I need to do. Is it really that important? Now, Brother Jim, I've got family and children that I want to see saved. I've got neighbors and kin that I want to see saved. I do too. But you know what? Our staying here or being gone with the Lord isn't going to save them or not. The time that you've got to witness, that you and I have to witness to them, is now. Speak to them. Speak to them while you can. Speak to them while it's day. Because the salvation of their souls in the hand of God. But you and I have a responsibility. We can only accomplish it. Do it now. But you know what? My desire is to be with my Savior. The time of my life is in His hand. You know, when it's time, He'll take me home. When He's ready, He'll take me home. But I desire to be with Him now. That's what the Apostle Paul says. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. Be careful in our attitude and our thinking that we don't take things and put them before the Lord. Right? If the Lord wills that I stay here another 20, 30, 40 years, His will be done. The Lord sees fit to take me out of here sooner than that, His will be done. And I still have a desire for my kin. I still have a desire for my family. I have a desire for your family and your kin. Let us be busy about the business that we have at hand and not put them before the Lord. Because our desire, our love, our care should be in that preeminent one, Jesus Christ. We desire Him first and foremost. And then everything else falls in its place. So He says, verse 9, wherefore we labor. Because of all that, having these great promises, knowing, having this confidence, knowing that these things are so, knowing that this time on this earth is just a little time, and when we're there on the other side with the Lord, it'll just be but a moment. Wherefore, because of all that, we labor, that whether present, right here, or absent with the Lord, we may be accepted of Him. Yeah. You and I, as the children of God, we need to work to be accepted of the Lord. In simple, it's called obedience. Obedience. This word accepted is not along the lines as much as what you and I think about accepted. It's talking about being well-pleasing to the Lord. Do you want to have your Father smile upon you? Do you desire that? Our earthly parents, we desire in the flesh, generally speaking, we desire to please our earthly parents. Child of God, don't you want to please your heavenly Father? Be obedient to Him. Be obedient to Him in every way. He says, wherefore we labor. How is it with our labor? How is it with your labor? Are you laboring for the Lord? That whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. When the Lord evaluates your labor for Him and your labor for yourself, how does it weigh up? What does He think? I can't answer that for you. Only you and the Lord can. But how does it weigh up? And here is a promise, a reminder, and a challenge. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, verse 10, that every one of us may receive in the things done in His body according to that which He hath done, whether it be good or bad. You know what? The context here is speaking to the church at Corinth, the children of God that are in that church. And we, as the children of God, we know that it will be so that we'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ. May the Lord help us that our thinking about the judgment seat of Christ not be wrong. We need to understand how that judgment seat is going to be. We need to understand, it's very easy, and I think to some extent it's been a bill of goods that's been sold to the people of God and that we've bought off into, is that the judgment of the Lord, His people, yes, our souls are not in jeopardy of hell and everlasting fire and wrath of God. We've been delivered from that. But I think there's a bill of goods that we've been sold that because we've been delivered from hell, everything else is just A-okay. Look out. Don't think that that's the case. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or well, or whether it be bad, worthless, depraved, evil, or wicked. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, speaking to the people of God. Remember, the Hebrews tells us our God is a consuming fire. And because by virtue of being saved, He will not destroy us. But we are subject to His holiness. We will be yet judged by our obedience. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. We persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. What's that saying? It says, God knows the truth, and God knows and has sent me to preach the truth to you. I hope you see the truth. And the Apostle Paul, in writing this, saying, and if you will allow me just to interject, not just thinking it's just another crazy preacher telling you about your shortcomings and your faults and your failures, but that you would hear that God is speaking to you. God knows the truth. God knows what He desires and what He commands. We persuade men. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 10. Let's read something here quickly. Speaking here again to the children of God. This isn't talking to folks that are out of the way, that are without Christ, that are sinners without the Lord, without the salvation of the Lord. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26, listen to what it says to us who are children of God. Remember what it says here in verse 11. Verse 11 of chapter 5 where we were at. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. The greatness, the majesty, the holiness. Remember how it was with Moses when he was there on the mount with the Lord for 40 days and 40 nights? And when he came down from that mount, his face was so glowing and bright and such, he had to wear a bag over his head for several days that the people, the nation of Israel, would not be afraid at just that light effect of the glory of God upon His servant Moses for 40 days. Moses only saw the hinder parts of the Lord on that mount. And his face shone because of being exposed to the glory of the Lord. We need to esteem our God higher than we do, I believe. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 26, listen to what it says to us. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Because being a child of God, our sins that stood against us from the standpoint of our eternal situation, that's been answered in Christ. We've been forgiven. If you will, all those sins that are past, all the way up to the time that the Lord has saved me, in Christ, I've been given a bye. You hear that? I've been forgiven. It's done. But think about it. In Christ, everything in the past is forgiven. From the standpoint of my sin that I will sin toward the future, it won't be held against me from the standpoint of my eternal situation. I'm secure in Christ. But as a child of God, we've been called to obedience. And that's what this passage speaks to us about. It's what 2 Corinthians chapter 5 alludes to there in verse 11. Therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Understand this. Verse 26 of Hebrews 10. For we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of truth. There remain no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for in judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. It won't devour us, because we'll have a body like Christ. We'll be able to tolerate and to be able to stand and be in the presence of our great God and King. We'll be given a body that's fitted for life. And we'll be able to be there. Remember the effect of God on the mount to Moses and how His face shone? Remember how the Lord Jesus Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration there with Peter, James, and John, His raiment was changed and His countenance was changed and He was white and glistering? We'll be given a body that will be able to be there before the Lord. But as children, we'll be accountable for what we've done, whether it be good or whether it be bad. Well, whether it be treasure laid up in heaven or whether it be works built with wood, hay, and stubble. Right? These books, 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, refer to the same. And so he goes on here to say, but a certain fearful looking forward judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. If the adversaries were there, if Satan was there, he'd be devoured. If wicked men and their sins without Christ would be there, they would be devoured. It won't devour us. But you know what it'll do, brothers and sisters in Christ? It'll purge us. It'll cleanse us. It'll make us fit to be eternally sound to be with the Lord forever. Listen to what he says. He that despised Moses, here's an example of the way it was on the earth. He that despised Moses' law, verse 28, died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Boom, it was done. You disobeyed that law, and you did that worthy unto death. Two or three witnesses stood against you. You were put to death. That's the way it was there. Listen to this. Of how much sore punishment suppose ye that he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God and hath counted the blood, listen to the wording, hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified or set apart. You've been saved by the blood of the Lamb. You've been set apart by the blood of the Lamb. And you know what you and I do when we sin willfully? We trample the Lord and that blood underfoot. Let's read what it says. Wherewith, how much sore punishment? Sore than death? Yeah. Because it'll be there, just us and the Lord before His judgment seat. Of how much sore punishment suppose ye that shall he be thought worthy who hath trod underfoot the Son of God and accounted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace? For we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again it's written, the Lord shall judge his people. No man sins against God and gets away with it. He will reckon it all. You and I that are saved, we've been saved eternally. But we will give an account as children. This isn't speaking to the lost. This isn't speaking to those that are without Christ. This is speaking to you and me. To you and me. We need to fear our God more than we do. We need to reverence Him and what He says more than we do. I do. You do. We do. We need to. We need to take the Word of God and what He says, and we need to take it, and with God's help, take it and apply it to our lives. May we not sin willfully against our God. What do you mean sinning willfully, Brother Jim? The Lord tells us in His Word the truth and what it is to do it, and you and I choose not to. We don't. Think about it. Think about it. Verse number 31, right? Jonathan Edwards preached a great message from this, right? And he preached to sinners. You know what the context is? The context is to the Lord's people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Oh, on that day, we'll be sad. We'll be ashamed. I'll be ashamed. I'll be afraid. I won't die because I'm the Lord's. But it will be a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God there at the judgment seat of Christ. It's not going to be like a holiday, folks. There's going to be tears and there's going to be weeping for lost rewards and disobedience and disappointment to our Lord and Savior. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. I like these two verses because the Lord always tells us the truth and then He tells us the way of blessing. But the apostle writes, but call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great flight of afflictions, partly whilst you were made a gazing stock, by both reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst you became companions of them that were so used. Remember how it was when you were first saved? Remember that way. And be diligent that way. When you were a babe in Christ and you hung on every word of the Lord, this old world and sin does nothing but wear us down, brothers and sisters in Christ. That's what it does to us. The soul is saved and the soul is redeemed by the Lord and is given life and illumination, but then the old world just hammers on us and hammers on us and hammers on us and wears us down. May we hear the Lord. The Word of God is the only way to displace the effects of the world. It's the only way. And may we hear it, and may we believe it, and may we trust Him in it. Back in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, knowing therefore, verse 11, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. The apostle is writing to that church, persuading them, looking to persuade them. Hear this, believe this, know that it's so. I, this morning, convicted by the Lord to preach this message, I look to persuade you. Be persuaded. Be persuaded of these things that they're true. But we are made manifest to God. The Lord knows the truth, and the Lord knows that the apostle spoke the truth, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. I pray that the Lord will convict you and me too. For we commend not ourselves, verse 12, again unto you. The apostles dealt with this church about whether he has authority to deal with them this way, I believe. But give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that you may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. There are those that are interested in just the way it looks. And he says, I'm giving you some reasons so you can give a good answer to those who are looking at looks. But what the Lord's interested in is the heart. Obedience from the heart. Obedience from the Spirit. Are we spiritual? He says, for whether we be beside ourselves, if you view me to be just out of my head and crazy, just another crazy preacher, God knows the truth. All right? Verse 13, for whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God. Or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. If you hear these words, it will help you. For the love of Christ constrains us. Not my love for Him, but His love for me. That's what constrains us to obedience. Is the Lord having loved us so? Doesn't it? He died for you. We lose in our so sanitized world. The reality of things are so removed from us. Death is made so clean by the way that our funeral system works and all that. We lose sight of what the Lord died for you that day, some 2,000 years ago, if you're here and saved. He died for you. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, if one died for all, then we're all dead. We were dead indeed. And that He died for all, they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but live unto Him which died for them and rose again. If Jesus died, which He did, it's because we were all dead. And that He lives, He rose from the dead. Did He die for us and give us life so we could live for ourselves? Rather than live for Him. Live unto Him. Through Him, for Him. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that He died for all, that they which should live, henceforth live unto themselves, but live unto God, unto Him, which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we Him no more. I tell you what, this is a big chunk, but quickly. He's saying, I'm not looking at physical life anymore. I'm looking for evidence of the Spirit manifested in your life. That's what I'm not going to know any man after the flesh anymore. Over and over again, the apostle writes, said, we didn't come to you, to your town, to witness to you of Christ, to get your stuff. We didn't come to your town to witness to you, to gain popularity to ourselves. We were interested in your soul. That's the reason we came. And to the world, it doesn't look like much. But to the Lord, it's the command of God and working of God into salvation of sinners. And in our study in 1 Thessalonians, we're going to see how the apostle words that and tells that. But he says, I'm looking after spiritual things. He says, yeah, I've known Christ after the flesh. We do know that Christ came and lived and died, was buried and rose again for us. If you're here and you're saved, you believe that. But you know what? How do you know Christ beyond that? Is it not spiritual? Christ hasn't physically appeared to any of us. None of us have seen Christ with these eyeballs. None of us has touched Christ with our hands. Yes, we know that He came and He did those things for us. That's how He came to save us. But the relationship is a spiritual relationship. Do you have it? Do you cultivate it? Do you possess it? He says, I don't know Christ after the flesh and beyond his him coming as Christ. Yet now henceforth know we him no more. He's saying it's spiritual in Christ, in Christ. Verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, are you? He's a new creature. Old things are passed away, dead, right? Behold, all things are become new. Are you a new person? Are you the same as you always were? Yeah, I know elements about our the way we are and who we are, our mannerisms and such as that. But have you been changed? Have you been brought from darkness to light? Have you been brought to death, from death to life? Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled. We see the first mention of this word, reconciled. This word reconciled means to change mutually. A great godly change. Before we were saved, we were enemies of God and hated God. And in the sense of that present time and at that point, the Lord hated our wickedness and hated our sin and hated us. Okay, in that point in time, the time of life, our righteousnesses were as filthy rags. Our plowing before the Lord was sin. But the Lord visited us, sent His Word to us, sent His Spirit to us and convicted us. You know what? The Lord's mind was changed. Oh, and by the wooing of the Holy Spirit and the conviction of God and the Word of God came, our hearts were changed. Right? Reconciliation. In that point of time, that point of salvation, God's heart, God's mind, God's way was changed towards us from the standpoint of just us in this life and where we were in time. I understand about eternity past and what the Lord has done. But then our hearts were turned to Him too. And we were reconciled. We were reconciled. What's it say? And all things are of God, verse 18, who hath reconciled us to Himself, how? By Christ. That's how He did it. And hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. Not only have we been reconciled, but we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation. We desire that others be reconciled in salvation, don't we? Don't you? To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. The Lord was long-suffering. Why didn't He kill you before He saved you? He'd be just in doing it. As wicked as we were. But He didn't. He was waiting. He was working. And then He saved. And He's given us this ministry, this word of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation, the word of reconciliation. Verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. Church at Corinth. Homestead Baptist Church, child of God, in the hearing of these words and this message, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, just like Jesus was standing here, and these would be His words, be ye reconciled to God. So see, here's the point. Here's the reason. For, or because, He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Our sin was imputed to Him and His righteousness imputed to us. He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Yeah, it was a spiritual transaction and justification and such as that. Our righteousness is the test of our justification. If our righteousness is of ourselves, we have no justification. If our righteousness is because of Christ, then we do have justification. Because the Lord justifies everyone whose righteousness of Christ is placed upon them. And having been reconciled in that way, having been saved in that way, you and I should not be disobedient to the Lord. But we should be obedient to the Lord. Be ye reconciled to God. Child of God, are you disobedient to the Lord? I tell you, I beseech you, be reconciled to God. Is there the plain Word of God that's there in His Word? Listen to me. Don't worry about putting up your Bible. All right, we're okay. Listen. The Word of God's come to you and shown you the truth. And you say, no, that's not for me. I beseech you, be reconciled to God. If you're not a witness like the Lord would have you to be, and like the Lord you know the Lord wants you to be, I beseech you, be reconciled to God. The Lord's given the truth. Line up with it. Don't be willful in it. We've got enough sin in our ignorance. Don't be a willful, disobedient child to the Lord. I've said many times, and I want it to be so, my desire for the membership of Olmsted Baptist Church is that you hear from the Lord, well done, thou good and faithful servant. If you're a husband, and you've not been obeying the Lord in the way the Lord says that you ought to be in your family and in your home to your wife, be reconciled to God. If you're a mother or a wife, and a mother, and you've not been following what the Lord says in His Word and gives very plainly to do and to pursue and to be reconciled to God. If you're a child and you live in your parents' home, or maybe you don't, maybe you're out on your own, but you've not been the child that the Lord says that you ought to be reconciled to God. I beseech you. Be reconciled to God. He tells the right way. If you're a father, a husband, a wife, a mother, a child, an employee, a church member, be reconciled to God. Because He's made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Hear that. Hear that. Sinner, you're here without Christ. We're ambassadors of Christ because we've been saved. Not because of what we've done, but because of what Christ has done for us. You're here without Christ. If you're here and all you have is your life, your soul, and your sin, be reconciled to God. That's the way we were reconciled to God, is by the Lord Jesus Christ. Be reconciled to God. May the Lord help us.